Hey, greetings, everybody. This is Brother Two Post from NoParish.com, John 424 Radio. Want to get right back on Matthew. We're going to finish Matthew up in the next two lessons. Today, we're going to do our verse-by-verse Matthew. We're going from verse 9 today. We're going to go through to verse, 13. Yeah, we're going to go 9 to 12. We're going to go Matthew 28, verses 9 through 12. And then we'll have one more teaching after this, and the book of Matthew will be done. You can go to don'tperish.com, click on the verse-by-verse studies, and you can catch up with all the rest of the studies. Let's get right to Matthew 28, starting with verse 9. And as they went to tell the disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail. So the setting is the women meet the angel at the tomb. Christ is gone. They're going to go tell the disciples. And Jesus met them, saying all hail on the way to go telling the disciples. A disciple is a student, a pupil of. Jesus meets them. I love this. He says the word all hail. Chero. You know what that means? Calm, cheer, happy, well off. This reminds me of the word kara. It's what the Holy Spirit brings us. We talk about this all the time. The joy of the Holy Spirit. In today's corrupt, false, fleshly religious places, it's a bunch of instrumental emotional music, jumping up and down, dancing, swaying, repetitive songs over and over and over. No. The Holy Spirit brings calm, inner joy, kara. I have a teaching on that online. Check it out at the teaching blog, don'tperish.com. God's Spirit always brings calm and peace, not fleshly dancing, jumping up and down, yelling, as I said. Jesus, representation of the third person of the Godhead, the Spirit, brings them calm and good cheer. Also, we see here Jesus meets the women. This is, again, I've been talking about a lot, another sign how God uses women. Right? He went a long way in his ministry to always reach out to, include, be about women in his ministry, in the ways and the truth of God. As long as it's done in its proper biblical role, women have a great purpose and service of God. And it says, and then they came and held him by his feet and worshiped him. Held him by his feet. So we don't know a lot about this, but I'm assuming that they were in a low, prostrate type of position, lowly, of worship, having their hands on his feet, right? This is kind of reminds me of like the whole foot washing example that we see where we lower ourselves to serve someone else. That was just an example of something they needed done then. Their feet were dirty. Today we don't have dirty feet. Everybody washes their feet and has shoes and socks on. Today we do other services to each other. We don't do the foot washing. But it's the same example of lowly. We're servants of God. Let us sit lowly before him. Yeah, sit at his feet one day is what we're going to do. Amen? We're going to sit at his feet one day when we're with him. Today we serve him in spirit and in the word and go do what he's called us to do. Preach the gospel, make disciples, teach them to obey, live holy. Amen? Note also it says worshiped him. This is more than just a being near Jesus type of thing. We get that a lot today. Oh, we're in the presence of Jesus. Everybody's running to seek the presence of Jesus at some revival or some church meeting or some concert. No, Jesus said don't do that in Matthew 24. That's a lie. When he comes back, every eye is going to see him. He's going to part the sky. We have the manifestation of him in the Holy Spirit in us that brings us calm and cheer and inner joy. Read what worship is. It's to be a living sacrifice. Romans 12. That's what we're to be to God. A living sacrifice unto God. Verse 10. And then said Jesus unto them, be not afraid. Go tell the brethren that ye go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. All right, so Christ is saying, be not afraid. Again, being that he is God himself, he's bringing calm and peace and joy. I just did a teaching on the armor of God, the gospel of peace. That gospel of peace that we're supposed to put on as the armor of God, that we're at rest, we're quiet within us. That's what the Holy Spirit does. Comforts you, quiets you, calms you, gives you inner peace and joy. That's what Jesus brings here. Be not afraid, he says. Tell my brethren that go into Galilee, there they shall see me. It's sinful to be afraid of anything but God. You know that? Think about that. It is. Sinful to be afraid of anything but God himself. That means we favor man, we favor our flesh, we favor the circumstances rather than favoring a holy God. We can imagine all the things that must be raging through their minds, but he comes and he comforts them in this time of turmoil. That's what the Holy Spirit does to us today. I've noticed in my study and through the book of Matthew, maybe if you followed along, you've noticed it too. Jesus always rebuked fear and lack of faith, but he always praises a strong faith. He wasn't rebuking them here, but he's encouraging them and bringing them comfort, just like the Spirit, as we talked about, does to us. John 15:26. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. Yeah, the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. Most people do not designate him as the Spirit of truth. Most people aren't focused on truth, but he is the Spirit of truth as well as the Holy Spirit. You got to be in truth to be in tune with God's Spirit and God's Word. And again, notice God's allowing these faithful women to go and be what? Messengers. An angel's a messenger. They're not angels, but they're being a messenger to go tell the men about his resurrection. Yeah, women can be messengers of God's truth as long as it's done in proper biblical authority. And we also see here that God's not a respecter of persons. He's not going to only work through men. Galatians 3:28-29. There is neither Jew nor Greek, neither is there neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female, for ye all are one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. God's not a respecter of male and female, other than when it comes to authority, all right, in the things of God, in the body, teaching and rebuking. Verse 11. And when they were going, behold, some of the watch came unto the city and showed unto the chief priests all the things that were done. All right, that word watch, custodia. I guess that's probably where we get our word custodians. Watchers. This was the Roman guards that were at the tomb that were watching the sealed rock so no one would steal Jesus' body. We can assume that these men went to the leaders to tell them what actually happened. That's what we can assume by what happens. We're going to read what happens. They stood guard the whole time. Nobody came from the outside and did anything. The rocks moved and an earthquake and the angels show up and Jesus is gone already. They're going to go report this to these wicked leaders. And what this shows us is going to show us is the proof of how corrupt not only these Roman guards are by their act, what they do, but also the religious leaders of Jesus' day. Pure wicked murderers, but also they're liars. And bribe. They do use bribery. We're going to see that. These men that they sent to give watch give an account that the stone was never moved, as I said. Jesus was gone already. This is the proof of Christ's resurrection that we need, or it just helps us see it, that he wasn't stolen away. Their own evilness worked to God's advantage. Remember, we talked about that. God always has his way, no matter what. God always has his way, no matter how you try to confound him. Verse 12, and then when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers. Bribery. This is a total act of bribery against these, against Jesus, towards these soldiers. Why? They're going to cover up the resurrection. This is like them paying Judas money to betray Jesus. And this shows us the heart of the so-called, ready, leaders of God that were at the temple, and they were the leaders and the teachers. This is the heart of these men. Murderous, lying, full of bribery and injustice. And we see that's the same case today in ministry. We see it. It's absolutely the same case. Their leaders and elders in the religious places of God at that time and today are the worst ones to deal with when it comes to hatred of the truth. when I go and oppose religious leaders and call people out of their sin and their heresy and their false gospels, people get angry. They call the police on me. They hate it. They're the greatest enemies of the gospel. We face it in ministry every single day. Those that are either false teachers or supporting false teachers. There's nothing new under the sun, saints and seekers, if you're listening. Jeremiah 2:8. The priest said not, where is the Lord? And they that handle the law knew me not. The pastors also transgressed against me. The prophets prophesied by Baal and walked after things that do not profit. Yeah, we've always had this problem. God's always had this problem of leaders not doing what they're supposed to do, not following through, doing in their flesh. The Bible says there's a way that seems right to a man, but in the end it leads to death. Yeah, that's what's going on here. And that is modern pastors, teachers, churchianity folks, ministry leaders today, some of the most corrupt men that you could ever see. They don't have the truth in them. They oppose it with great fervor. We see them lie about us all the time. I got a video cam recorder going, and they will lie and say I said things and threatened them and did things, and I could show the police everything that is not true. And the police always believe me and go, I believe you. And I'm left to keep preaching. Wicked, wicked false teachers these men are. And these are the ones opposing our Lord, murdered him or had him murdered, and now trying to cover up with bribery his resurrection. It's not going to work. We know that from history. It's not going to work. We're going to stop right there. Next time we're going to finish the book of Matthew, we're going to go from 13 to verse 20, and we'll finish it. I hope this study has been a blessing to you. We're going to pick a new book and keep going in that next book. Stay tuned. More to come. We're on the gospel road, preaching Christ every day. Go to don'tperish.com. Check out the gospel, most of all. Check out all our thousands of resources to help you in the Word of God. We love you all. Till next time. I hope the Lord lets me come to you again. May God be praised.